Lives of the prophets, let's learn from them. Let's learn from them. Lives of the prophets, lives of the prophets, lives of the prophets, lives of the prophets, lives of the prophets.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen wa salat wa salamu ala Sayyidil Anbiya'i wal Mursaleen. Amma ba'd fa'a'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Salatu wa salamu alayka ya Rasulullah wa ala alika wa ashabika ya Habiballah. الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. There are many virtues and blessings of reciting salutations upon the best of creation, sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. And one benefit is that on the day of judgment, when people are worried about their sins, when people are worried about what is going to happen to them, whether they're going to get the book in their right hand or the left hand, how Allah Ta'ala is going to treat them, when people will be drowning in their own sweat, when the sun will be a mile away. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the person to gain salvation quickly on the Day of Judgment will be that individual who would have recited the most salutations upon me in this earth. Subhanallah. So if you want to gain salvation quickly on the Day of Judgment, if you want to be saved from the punishments and the torments and the difficulties on the Day of Judgment, then one way to do this is by the means of reciting salutations upon the best of creation sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the more you recite, the easier this situation will be for the Day of Judgment. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Welcome back to the program, Lives of the Anbiya, Lives of the Prophets alayhim as-salatu wassalam, in which we look at the affairs which took place in the lives of the Anbiya, some of those stories which increase our levels of piety and taqwa, and those stories which shaken our hearts due to the torment which came upon those nations, and those stories which boost our iman. We started with the story of Musa alayhi salatu wassalam. We covered the first part of it where he was born and his mother let him go because she was fearful that they would murder him if she did not let him go. And she placed him in the river, and Pharaoh was able to pick Musa up and he decided to raise him. And then the story of Musa when he slapped the Pharaoh, Fir'aun, and then he was put to the test between rubies and between coal, and he picked the coal up and he put it in his mouth, due to which he started to have a stammer. And Asiya radiallahu anha was always adamant that we need to look after Musa, we need to treat him like a son, we need to raise him. So when Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, carrying on with the story, when he became a bit older, he started to espouse the truth and refute Pharaoh and his people even in his youth. So when Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam became a bit older in his youth, he started to go against the Pharaoh because he knew the Pharaoh was lying, he wasn't telling the truth, he was fooling people, and he would go against his people as well. And the Israelites, they would follow Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, and they would follow him, but the other people would not do so. One day Prophet Musa alayhi salam entered the city of Manf. Here he seen two people fighting with one another. One of these people was an Israelite, and the other person was a person from the people of Pharaoh. So they started fighting with each other because the person who was from the people of Pharaoh, he was commanding that Israelite to carry a large plank of wood on his back into the royal kitchen. But that individual, he did not have the strength to do so. So Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam said to that Coptic man — Coptic are those people who were with Pharaoh at that time — that do not be cruel to the Israelite. Prophet Musa alayhi salatu wasalam said to the Copt. However, the Copt did not desist and became abusive. In an attempt to stop that Copt, Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam punched him. Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam hit him with his fist. And subhanallah, the majesty and the power of Musa alayhi salam, that with one shot, Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam killed that individual. Allahu Akbar, this was the power of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. He did not intend to kill him. He only intended to stop the cruelty and the oppression. And when Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam done this action, he pleaded before his Lord. He said, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Translation from Kanzul Iman: O my Lord, I have transgressed my soul, so forgive me. The Lord henceforth forgave him. Indeed, only He is the most forgiving, the most merciful. It was out of the humility of Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam that he said these words, because in reality he had not committed a sin. He had not done anything wrong. he was protecting someone, which resulted in the other man getting killed. But the other man should not have been oppressing him in the first place. And remember, the reason this is also not a sin, because all the Anbiya, all the Prophets, all the Nabis, all the Rasuls of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are ma'soom. They do not have the ability to commit a sin. So if a person who does not have the ability to commit a sin, what is he going to repent about? What is he going to seek forgiveness about? But this was the humility of Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also gave him the glad tidings as well. It was said, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, that, O my Lord, because you have bestowed favors upon me, so now I will never be a supporter of the culprits. Here, you bestowed upon me the blessings of forgiving my shortcomings. This refers to that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took him away from the company of the Pharaoh. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made him realize that the Pharaoh wasn't upon the haqq and he was misguiding people. After his supplication the next morning, Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam was fearful and concerned in the city about what might result in the Coptic man being killed and what the other Copts might do. Copts, like I said before, are those people who were the followers of Pharaoh. And in Arabic, they're known as the Qibtis. And on the other hand, people had informed Pharaoh that someone had murdered one of his people. So Pharaoh sent out his people to go find this murderer. And Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam, the following day, happened to come across the same individual, the same Israelite, who was arguing the day before. And this day, he was asking for help again. And Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam said to him, indeed, you are clearly astray. And by saying this, he meant that yesterday, you put yourself in a similar situation that you started arguing with an individual. And today, you have brought it upon yourself that you are doing the exact same thing again. So you have clearly been misguided. And that man, that Israelite, who Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam helped the first day, he turned around and said to him that, how am I at fault when it is you who killed that man yesterday? And that man of Pharaoh, a Qibti, a Copt, was present there. And he went and he told this to Pharaoh. So Pharaoh declared that Musa should be found and Musa should be killed because of his killing of one of my people. So when Pharaoh made this announcement that Musa should be killed for what he did, a person which was in the gathering of Pharaoh, who was actually a follower of Musa alayhi salam, he went to Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. He said, oh Musa, the Pharaoh has commanded you to be killed because of the murder of the Copt, due to the murder of that Qibti. So Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam intended on leaving the city and migrating to Madian, because Madian was a place which was outside the dominion of the Pharaoh and it was polluted. And people might not be able to recognize Musa alayhi salatu wasalam there. So we come to know from this little incident that if a person is at a place where he is fearful of his life, where he is fearful of his religion, where he is fearful of being oppressed or murdered, then it is allowed for him to leave that city. It is not an act of cowardice, but rather it is a clever move. It is a move of wisdom, because if you do not have your life, then you will not be able to prove the other person wrong. You will not be able to guide the other people. But if you, using what we call in Urdu, hikmat-e amali, or in Arabic, hikmat-e amali, that you use your wise senses to make a decision and conclusion, and you act upon that, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make matters easy for you. When Musa alayhi salatu wasalam arrived in Madian, and he arrived and there was a well on the outskirts of Madian, he seen that there were people gathered around to get water out to give it to their animals. And next to them, there were two women standing there and they were not taking any water out. Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam went to them and he said to them, why are you not taking any water out? And those two women said that our father, he has become very old and he is unable to come here and take water out. So we have come, but we are going to wait for these men to take their water and give it to their animals. And after them, we will take the water out and give it to our animals. This was the modesty of these women, subhanAllah, that they did not want to get so close that the men will look at them or they will be interacting with men. So they stayed on one side. And Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam looked around and he saw that there was another well, but that well was covered by a stone. And this rock, we could say, was so heavy that it would take at least 10-15 people to lift that rock up. But Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, he single-handedly lifted that rock up, and then he filled the water buckets and he gave it to those women. When Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam removed that rock, he had been hungry for several days. He had not eaten for several days. He experienced extreme hunger pangs, and therefore watering the animals, he sat under the shade of a tree. He made dua to Allah Ta'ala. He said, "Oh my Lord, I am in need of that food which you may send down for me." An entire week had passed since Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam last ate. He had not consumed a single morsel of food during this period. His hunger was manifested by his physical condition. In this state, he started to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for food, and he was extremely humble and modest. That day, when Shu'aib alayhi salatu wasalam's daughters returned home quicker than usual, they said that, "Why have you come home quicker?" And the daughters replied that, "We came across a pious man near the well. He was kind towards us and watered our animals." Upon hearing this, Prophet Shu'aib alayhi salatu wasalam ordered one of his daughters to go bring that pious man individual to him. So one of the daughters of Prophet Shu'aib approached Prophet Musa alayhi salam modestly. She was covering her face with her sleeve so that Sayyidina Musa will not be able to gaze upon her face. And this was from the modesty of these women. Some said it was the elder daughter Safura who went to get, and some of the are of the opinion that it was the younger daughter. And Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam was such modesty and such haya that when that woman came to get him, Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam said that, "I will lead the way and you guide me from behind." Subhanallah, that he did not want that woman to be in front of him that he may gaze upon her. So he told her to follow him from behind and she may guide him from there. And Sayyidina Shu'aib alayhi salatu wasalam had prepared food and prepared a feast for Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. So when Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam came and he met Sayyidina Shu'aib alayhi salatu wasalam, Sayyidina Shu'aib embraced him, he met him and said that, "I have prepared food for you, I have prepared water for you so that you may eat from this and you may quench your thirst and hunger." And Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam rejected to eat from there. And Sayyidina Shu'aib said that, "Why are you not eating?" And Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam says that, "I do not want my reward to be ruined if I take food in return of the water, in return of the help that I gave to your daughters." And Sayyidina Shu'aib alayhi salatu wasalam says that, "Oh my son, oh Musa, this food is not a repayment to you, but rather this food is feast for you, it's a blessing for you, we have prepared this as a gift for you." So Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, he stopped, he sat down, and he ate the food with Shu'aib alayhi salatu wasalam. And then Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam told the whole story of the Qibti, how he killed him and the Pharaoh, and he relayed all of this story to Sayyidina Shu'aib alayhi salatu wasalam. And the Prophet Shu'aib replied to him that, "Do not fear, you have been saved from the oppressors." Sayyidina Shu'aib is giving peace and comfort to Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. After the conversation had ended, one of the Prophet Shu'aib's daughter requested, "Dear father, employ him to herd our goats so that we do not have to. He is a good employee, he is trustworthy and he is strong." And Sayyidina Shu'aib alayhi salatu wasalam says that, "How do you know that he is trustworthy and he is strong?" And the daughter says that, "When I went to get him, he commanded me to walk behind him and guide me. So his modesty and his trust is shown from here that I was there, but he did not want me to be in front of him. So his gaze might fall upon me, but he told me to be behind him." And Prophet Shu'aib says, "Okay, but how do you know that he is strong?" And she says that there was a rock upon a well. Even if 10 men had come to lift that rock, they would not have been able to lift that rock. But this man single-handedly lifted that rock and took water out of it. So when this happened, Sayyidina Shu'aib alayhi salatu wasalam was very impressed. So he made a deal with Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam. And he said to the Musa alayhi salatu wasalam that, "I want you to marry one of my daughters." So Sayyidina Shu'aib alayhi salam married his daughter to Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. And look, even though Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam had not a lot of visible wealth at this moment in time, he did not have a lot of assets, he did not have a lot of things, but what he did have was his honor. What he did have was his piety. What he did have was his modesty. What he did have was his humility. What he did have was his tawakkul upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when Prophet Shu'ayb, seeing all of these good qualities inside Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam, he decided to marry his daughter off to him. And this should be a lesson to us and those people who are looking to get their daughters married, that always look for piety in an individual. Always look for tawakkul in an individual. Always look for a God-fearing man or a God-fearing woman, because you will never be at loss. Once the agreement was made that Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam would herd the sheep and the goat and the animals of Shu'ayb alayhi salatu was salam, he decided to give him the staff which was given to Sayyidina Adam alayhi salatu was salam, which was passed down from generation to generation and finally came in the hands of Musa alayhi salam. That famous staff which we will hear about in the coming episodes, that staff which would turn into a serpent, that staff which caused the magicians to fall upon their heads, that was a staff which came from heaven to Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam. And through the lineage of Adam alayhi salam, he kept coming and kept coming to the point that he has now reached the hand of Musa alayhi salatu was salam. And upon the completion of time, because they had an agreement of 8 years that he would herd the animals for 8 years. Upon this, Sayyidina Shu'ayb alayhi salatu was salam marries his daughter Safura to him and then sought permission from Sayyidina Shu'ayb to travel back to Egypt, which he granted. And Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu was salam set off on his journey. And what happened on this journey, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke to him, and the story with the magicians and all those affairs which surrounded it, inshallah we will look at in the upcoming episodes. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive any mistakes that have been made. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the tawakkul that he granted Musa alayhi salatu wassalam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant pious husbands and wives to those people that are looking for him. Ameen bijahi an-nabiy al-ameen wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Lives of the prophets, let's learn from them. Let's learn from them. Lives of the prophets, lives of the prophets, lives of the prophets, lives of the prophets, lives of the prophets.